the sun shining? Because although it would have been a fantastic backdrop if there was thunder and lightning and gloom and doom coming from all areas, and in it I talked about the hope, but actually it's a much happier prophetic image, isn't it, to have the sunshine behind us. So we're going to be talking today about hope in the valleys. Now there is power in speaking out the word of God. So shall we just look at Psalm 23 together and actually speak out these words, both to ourselves and to one another? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm not really sure whether this is a preach or a teach or just mainly sharing some of my meditations and my testimony from these verses. And just to say, these verses have brought me so much personal strength and comfort and revelation of the Good Shepherd, and also practical advice for walking through my own valleys. So we talk about the darkest valley, or some versions talk about the valley of the shadow of death. So I'm not going to spend much time actually defining what is a valley, because it is different for each one of us. So what is a dark valley for us? Sometimes it can be a very sudden valley that we're plunged into, can't it? A health diagnosis, or a relationship crisis, or a financial problem that suddenly comes upon us. It could be something that happens to somebody that we love. I'm just going to take it. Yeah, I don't want you to have to worry about it. It was worth a try. I will be a left-handed gesticulator for the rest of this talk. Yes, sometimes it can be someone we love who is suddenly plunged into a valley, and we have to watch them. And what is happening in their lives has an impact upon us. And we find that their shadows are something that affects us, that is the valley that we also walk into. Sometimes a valley is something that creeps up on us internally. It could be anxiety. It could be depression. It could be an addiction. It's something that is happening within. And we don't always realize instantly that that is happening. But the revelation comes upon us as time goes by. Robin and I, we have walked through some valleys in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, Robin was sent out. He was in the armed forces, and he was sent out to Iraq for a year. And for him, he was in a very dangerous zone in Iraq, and he was literally walking through valleys of death every day. But for me, looking on as the army wife left at home, there's only so much you can sing and join choirs, I had to also walk through my valley of shadow of death, not knowing every day what news could be brought to me, whether the press would be on my doorstep bringing me news, not knowing whether Robin would come back or come back injured or be kidnapped, or I don't need to describe what that is can be like, I'm sure you can imagine. Fortunately, he came back well and safe. Soon after that, a couple of years after that, I then got diagnosed with breast cancer. This time, in a sense, I was walking through, literally, the valley of the shadow of death. But Robin was also walking through his own valley, accompanying me and walking with me through that. Soon after I was getting better and getting well, Lo and behold, Robin disappeared off to Afghanistan for 13 months. I say 13 months, but not a year, because that last month does make a heck of a lot of difference when they've been away that time. You're getting a bit of a pattern going on here, aren't you? Suddenly now, again, he was walking through a valley of death. And again, I was walking through the valley of shadows of accompanying him through that. 3 years ago, I was then diagnosed with metastatic cancer, stage 4, which basically means that the cancer is now spread throughout my body. So again, it's a bit of a pattern. It's almost like a bit of a competition, isn't it, between the two of us. Who can be walking through it and who has to accompany the others? So for the last 3 years, again, I am walking through the valley, literally, of the shadow of death. And Robin is walking with me. Now, Robin has just started a new job this week as a bursar at Caldecott's Boys Prep School, for which we're really grateful to the Lord. So as far as I can see, the greatest concern for Robin going into a valley is eating too much match tea at cricket matches. So far, I think the danger stakes are reasonably low. But, you know, it is good to recognise when we are in a valley. It's good to recognise what season we're in. And finding hope is not in denying the valley exists. It's facing it firmly and squarely. So just that question, what is our valley? What is the valley that we or our loved ones are walking through? Because hope is what we can experience when we are actually within the valley. It's not just a faint optimism. Oh, it'll be all right, dear. It's not that level of hope. It's far more solid than that. Hope is the confident expectation of good. Hope is also what we can experience now when we consider the future valleys that we may face. Because we all know that there may be valleys ahead. I could sing, there may be trouble ahead, but I'm not going to. But we all know that valleys could come on us and our loved ones. And our hope now is that even if we can have a confident expectation of good. So I'm going to focus upon this verse, Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And I think it's interesting that this verse talks about walking through the valley. The concept of walking through difficult times and coming out unharmed is common in many verses of the Bible. Here's one here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. It doesn't say that we will never experience the waters, the rivers and the fire, but that we will come through unscathed as he is with us. That is a really important thing to know. That is the hope that we can hold on to. So what is the significance of walking through the valleys? And we've already looked in this psalm about how the Good Shepherd leads us along right paths. So going through our valleys is a journey. It's a process. It's not the final destination for us. In fact, we could even look upon it as being a pilgrimage, a sacred journey. Because with the Good Shepherd leading the way, there will always be something new to see and explore. There will always be some new grace to experience daily. There will be something that changes every day as we walk through the valley. And of course, there is always some possibility of breakthrough, because God is the God of breakthrough. Today could be the day. Today could be the day when I get a full healing. Today could be the day while I'm standing here. Today could be the day when you get money, cash through the post. Today could be the day when you get a phone call in that broken relationship that mends those hearts back together. Today could be the day, because our God is a God of breakthrough. It's important that we don't get stuck in ruts when we're in our valleys. Don't settle and make your camp there. Keep moving through the valleys. And we have to beware of thoughts or even statements that we speak out during these difficult times, such as, it'll always be like this. Things will never improve. I am a valley dweller. And you know, we can end up thinking those things and saying those things when we're in the midst of it. Despair, self-pity, and hopelessness, they'll bang in the tent pegs if you get out your canvas in the valley. If you decide to camp there, if you decide to build a house there, they will be there digging the foundations with you if you make a decision not to move on. And I just want to say that to people who maybe feel they're a little bit stuck in their valley. You know, pull out those tent pegs and decide you're going to walk through the valley with Jesus leading you. Now, when seasons change, other things change. Now, traditionally, I wear my big boots and my big warm woolly socks and leggings up until a certain day of the year. And then, usually after a nice pedicure, the sandals come out and I move into flip-flops. And normally for me, it is a very distinct moment of the year. It's either one or the other. This year has been quite complicated, hasn't it? And I have to say, it's not been a clean transition, but today I have transitioned completely into the new season. When we walk through valleys, sometimes we need to change our footwear for the valley we're in, for the season that we're in. Because if we change your boots for walking through the valley, it's going to make it easier. You see, the thing is, we don't know how long a valley is going to last. If it's only going to last a couple of hours, we can just keep going along in our kind of flip-flops and sandals and just stroll along. But if that valley is going to last a long time, we need to make some changes in our lives that are going to give us the perseverance and the courage to keep walking through. Our valleys may last a day. For example, we may hear that there is a threat of redundancy. And then the next day we hear we're keeping our job or we're being promoted. It's been a day-long valley. But we were talking to some friends just recently who have three parents who are all going through dementia. I tell you, that is a long valley they are walking. And for some people who have difficulties either within themselves or with family friends, these valleys can last decades. So we need to be properly equipped with a determination to keep going. It's not the day for flip-flops. It's the day for perseverance and courage. There's a scripture, Romans 16:20, that says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." And for those of a certain age may remember a song by Nancy Sinatra, which I am not going to sing to you. "These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you." And in a sense, that is the song that we need to like almost take up in our valleys concerning the enemy and the dark places. I'm going to keep walking because these boots, one of these days, they're going to walk all over you. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. There are some of the things that may need to change. We may need to seek professional help and counselling. We may need to get more rest. The shepherd wants us to rest and restore. We have to choose our friends and conversation carefully when we're walking through valleys. Some friends are helpful in supporting you through the valley. They add life to you, and some don't. Enough said. Sometimes I think we need to watch more comedy when we're walking through the valley, and maybe less Nordic noir box sets. We need to increase recreation and fun in our lives. We need to re-establish our purpose and calling. Remember and review what God has said to you in the past. If we know how we best connect with God, whether it's through scripture, and we may find in our valley we need to change the version of scripture that we read, or we may find we don't have the capacity to do an hour-long Bible study every day, but we can just look at verses, snippets throughout the day that encourage us. It may be walks in nature. It may be through silence. It may be through just soaking in beautiful worship music. Whatever it is that increases your connection with God, you have permission to do loads of it when you're in the valley. Really seek out your time to spend in those things that you know increase your connection with the Lord. Anything that strengthens you in the Lord. Back to this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says shadows, and it's always good to ask when we're in a valley, is there an actual enemy here to fear, or are these just shadows? Because we do live in a culture of fear, and we can so easily come under the atmospheres of the world around us, the news or other people's experiences, and they can cast us into shadow. Now, the presence of shadows doesn't mean that the sun no longer exists. In fact, without the sun, there wouldn't be shadows. And it's looking through the shadows to see the sun. Say, what is the truth and what is a lie that is filling our thinking and focus? Am I really under threat in this valley, or is it other people's stuff? Now, there are good and beautiful aspects to valleys. A valley is often a place of refreshing, restoring water. Robin and I went on a lovely holiday in Switzerland, and we visited a valley called Lauterbrunnen. And there are 73 waterfalls in this valley. Beautiful place to visit. Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. The Good Shepherd leads us to still waters, but also refreshing waters in that place of valleys. And although we know that vision is wonderful, isn't it, when you're on the mountaintops, when you're in a valley, there is a joyous focusing on the smallest details when we are in those valleys. It's often a time for deep reflection on the details of life. For example, for me, when I've been having to rest more, when I haven't got the energy, the bird song has been like something else I have discovered afresh. For me, just the details, that mindfulness of being in the moment has added to me. There are things we can learn in the valleys. It's not a wasted time. It's a time where we shift our priorities in life. But, you know, because this Good Shepherd is with us in the valleys, he also is the one who leaps in high places on mountains. So he holds a mountaintop perspective. And then he is with us in the valleys, and he can impart to us that mountaintop perspective even when we are in the valley. So it is possible to have an internal life that is of wide and spacious land, even whilst we are walking through the valley. Sometimes a valley is just a transition from one place to another. We may find our life feels a bit constricted, we feel a little bit unhappy, we feel unsettled, we feel unrestless. And it is only because the Good Shepherd is actually leading us to an upgrade in pastures. And it's a good valley to transition from one place to another. So don't panic if you're in a place like that. The Lord may be leading you to something better. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Hope is the confident expectation of good. How do we know the valley is not a place to feel threatened? And this is where our confidence rests, the presence of God, the presence of the Good Shepherd. Remember, he is the Good Shepherd. He's the one who says, we are his people and the sheep of his pastures. He's the overcomer of all that is evil. He's our protector. And he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. If we focus on him, that means we never have to fear evil. Wow. And what that can do to us. So in our valleys, it's important to say, where is Jesus in the room? Where is he in this situation? Where is he in me? Stay close to the shepherd. If the Good Shepherd is with us, then surely everything changes, because if God is who he says he is, if God loves us as much as he says he does, then why would we fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? Your rod and staff, they comfort me. He is the God of all comfort and encouragement. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says he is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Romans 15:5 says he's the God who gives endurance. He gives us endurance and encouragement. Now, I could go into further sort of explanation of what the rod does and what the staff does, but enough to say that Jesus is fully equipped with everything that we need for our protection and for our care whilst going through the valley. He has everything. We lack nothing when we are with the Good Shepherd. He has the tools, strategies, and he's able to protect and comfort our hearts whilst we're in the valley. One of the things I have found so amazing is the kindness of God, expressed in so many ways to me and to Robin as we've been walking through our valley. And I'm sure many of you would say the same in your own experience. We've been given practical helps, great friends, words of encouragement, acts of service. The Lord has led us to still waters and green pastures. And you know, the Lord is really practical about what we need at these times. Funny movies, you know, YouTube clips of talking dogs or whatever it is, the Lord knows how to comfort my heart, how to make me laugh in the midst of this valley. He gives me beautiful scenery. I love wide horizons. And I love to go where the sea or the mountains, where I get wide horizons. He gives us medical interventions. Praise God for medical interventions in the valley. Powerful prayers. Do you know he's onto it? We are not left alone. He is our good shepherd. He's onto caring and protecting for us. He has his compass and he knows the way through the valley to the wide and spacious land he's promised us. You see, he is the Ancient of Days. I love that name of God, the Ancient of Days, because it's like, hey, you've walked this way before, God. You've seen other people walk this way before. You know what you're doing in my life, so I can trust you. And here's just a couple of verses that it'd be really good for us to say together about this. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. Again, in both of those, we don't need to fear. He is bringing us into that place. And just a quick visit into Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There are enemies. There are real enemies. And there are some that aren't real, as I said before. Some fears come from a perceived threat, which isn't a real danger at all. But some fear is from a clear and present danger. Now, who remembers back in biology lessons about what happens to your body when you're faced with a threat? It's either fight or flight, and that adrenaline gets pumping through your body. And sometimes it's good to fight when we're in the valley and facing enemies. We declare the word of God. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. We make stands against those things that are coming against us. Sometimes it's good to just run. Honestly, there's some things you don't need to hang around when you're in the valley. Get out of that situation. Get away from that. Run away. You don't need to do that. Watch that. Think about it. Run. But there is another alternative given us by God when we're facing our enemies. And I want to tell you, this has become so real to me in the past years that there is an alternative. He prepares a table before me in the face of my enemies. Now, you ask Robin in the military that when your enemies are coming at you, the last thing that you do is sit down and have your picnic. Or maybe that's the first thing you do, make sure you've eaten well. It's not a natural thing to sit down when your enemies are coming at you. And yet this is what the Lord offers us, a place of inner peace, overflowing with love. We're told that perfect love casts out fear. We don't have perfect love, but he does. And he calls us, even when our enemies are coming upon us, even when the darkness and the fears are there, that we can sit in peace with him. Because when Jesus is sitting next to us, or we're sitting next to him at the table, when our enemies look at us, who do they see? They see him. And they've taken him on before and they lost. So they're not going to want to take him on. They might want to shout at us, but when they see how close we are to Jesus, they're not going to take him on because they will lose. It's also a place where he anoints our head with oil and is a place of abundance. My cup overflows. Do you know, a real life shepherd would run oil onto the head of sheep to protect them from ticks getting up their noses and into their ears. Now that's a nice thing to learn this morning, isn't it? Because these little ticks, they could be very destructive to them. And in the valley we have to beware of the little things, the irritations in life, the little thoughts that can embed themselves into us and grow and cause us trouble. And it's allowing the Good Shepherd to take care of those little things, to anoint our heads with oil. Don't sweat the small stuff, as they say. There is hope, you know. You're not going to get lost in this stuff because we have a good shepherd. And, you know, the anointing with oil, God is still commissioning you and preparing you for fulfilling your destiny, even though you're walking through valleys. You haven't lost your destiny. You haven't lost your calling. The shepherd is actually, this is working for you and for your good and for what God has called us to. There is hope in the valleys because God gives in abundance. There's no want, there's no lack. He knows how to take care of our souls and to fill our hearts whilst in the valley. And you know, we don't need to feel fearful of valleys coming to us because we know that goodness and kindness will follow us all the days of our life. That means every day we can expect goodness and kindness to come. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, valleys. But take heart. Take heart. And if there's anything I would say this morning, it's take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm walking through a bit of a valley of shadows. We've got a bit used to it, actually. Robin's walking through one. We're all walking through one. And we walk through with courage and perseverance, and some days are harder and some days are easier than others. But actually, that keeping really close to the shepherd is the key to absolutely everything. He is utterly, utterly reliable. He is utterly, utterly wonderful. He is utterly, utterly practical. He knows us. He knows how to do this. So we need have no fear of what is to come if we stay close to him. And whether you're a big, grown-up, mature Christian or a young baby Christian, this is actually how we need to be with the shepherd, allowing him to love us and care for us and provide for us in the valley. And this is our hope. Surely, surely, thank you, Mike, for the double surely last week. Surely, surely, with the Lord as our shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Thank you.